Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Super Sell-Off.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Stock markets across the Pac Rim were skewered overnight. Maybe an appropriate beginning to the year of the rat. This was reaction to yesterday's nasty sell-off on Wall Street. A U.S. recession now seems inevitable, especially when you're looking at weak numbers on the economy, like those figures on U.S. non-manufacturing businesses, the worst in 6 years. So if the U.S. slows, Asian exports dry up. Japan's Nikkei lost nearly 5%. The market in Hong Kong was down about 5% too. But in Europe this morning, the major markets are a tad higher. Yesterday, the Dow lost 370 points to 12,265. The S&P dropped 44. The Nasdaq slid 73 points. Shares in the world's largest miner, BHP Billiton, are down sharply in London this morning. The company's profit fell for the first time in more than 5 years. But a bigger concern is BHP raising its bid to buy rival Rio Tinto. That offer is now $147 billion. BHP may have had no choice, especially since China's taken an interest in Rio. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
BHP Billiton has courted Rio Tinto for months. In November, it offered 13% less than today, to which Rio said, "Come back with a real diamond." Today's sweetened offer may spark serious talks. BHP argues a deal brings economies of scale and efficiencies, more minerals to market faster. But buyers like China fear a supplier gang-up, monopoly pricing. Industry consultant Michael Kamiseroff.
The Chinese are smarting under the fact that iron ore prices have doubled over the last couple of years. They're probably annoyed at it in the same way as you and I are annoyed every time we pull up at the petrol pump and see the price of fuel.
Last week, Chinese state-owned Chinalco bought a $13 billion stake in Rio. It's the largest Chinese acquisition to date. Some think Chinalco wants to scuttle the deal. Others say it simply bought a seat at the table, just in time for the talks to begin. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
It's Ash Wednesday, a day of fasting for many Christians. In this country, the average person spends nearly $10 a day on food. So today, a group called Global Fast is asking devotees to donate the money they'll save by fasting. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports on how the money will be used in Haiti.
Angel Aloma runs Food for the Poor, one of the largest international relief organizations in the U.S. A few years back, Aloma was talking to a young Harvard graduate from Boise, Idaho, named Rich Halverson.
At the end of the conversation, he asked a very dangerous question. He said, "What else can I do for you?" And I said, "Go to Haiti with me and see the stuff that I'm talking about."
Halverson later created Global Fast to help poor countries like Haiti.
Haiti is one of the three poorest and hungriest nations in the world, but there's really a lot that we can do about it.
Global Fast raised $45,000 last year to build a fishing village in Haiti. Villagers were taught modern fishing methods and given shared ownership in four power boats. They now catch up to 400 pounds of fish a day.
So you're actually helping them create an economy. It's sustainable, it's innovative, it's efficient.
This year, Global Fast hopes to raise enough for two fishing villages. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In Canada, Walmart stores are ending their relationship with the toy maker Lego. The Wall Street Journal reports on a disagreement over pricing, thanks to a stronger Canadian dollar. The Canadian government asked retailers to drop prices as the loonie appreciated. Well, that meant retailers had to ask their suppliers to cut wholesale prices. But Lego apparently wouldn't let go.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Siemens. From strengthened urban infrastructures to sustainable environmental solutions to advanced healthcare technology, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees are providing solutions for America. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
New Jersey has one of the highest debt burdens of any state in the union, $32 billion. But Governor John Corzine has come up with a way to cut that in half and save enough money to fund future highway projects. He's been pitching his plan in a series of public meetings. As Eugene Son reports, it's been uphill all the way.
Raise the rates at New Jersey's 66 toll plazas dramatically. That's Governor Corzine's prescription for helping pay down the state's colossal debt. Not surprisingly, New Jersey drivers are less than enthusiastic. It's hard to avoid the state's 300 miles of toll roads. So the governor has scheduled 21 public meetings on the plan, like this one recently at a high school auditorium in Livingston.
The reality is that we have never priced our toll roads on an economically competitive basis with what's going on in the world, whether income growth or whether it is the cost of living and anything else.
Pleading his case has done little to sell Corzine's plan, which would boost the typical trip on the New Jersey Turnpike from $1 now to almost $3 by 2014, and it will continue to climb for nearly 70 years thereafter. Bud Booth, a former mayor of the bedroom community of Westfield, summed up the sentiments of many Garden Staters at the same meeting.
I think it is wrong to try and balance all of New Jersey's financial problems, which you have outlined very well and I agree with. It's wrong to stick all of this on the toll road users in this state.
Corzine's plan is similar to Indiana's revenue-generating move to lease its turnpike to a private operator. Corzine says New Jersey would get $30 to $40 billion immediately by having a nonprofit agency issue bonds against the future toll revenue. Critics question the wisdom of retiring debt by borrowing more. Rutgers University economist Joseph Seneca says the plan wouldn't so much cut New Jersey's debt as force someone else to make the state's payments.
It will free significant resources for use in the budget and for transportation projects. It does that by shifting those debt service costs onto highway users, drivers, and the trucking industry.
Seneca praises other parts of the plan, such as freezing the state budget and restricting future spending. Some critics are urging a hike in the state's gas tax instead. It's the fourth lowest in the nation. Corzine says he doesn't want to do that with pump prices around $3 a gallon. And he says tolls are a better option because drivers just passing through New Jersey pay half the tolls anyway. I'm Eugene Son for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.